This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley.
Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. We have a spectacular woman to talk about and talk to today, Kameen Samuel, PhD. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Casey, for having me on.
There's so much I love. You know, we're recording on Zoom, and behind you is the picture of Cinderella's castle, a Thomas Kinkade version, which I adore. And you said you love all things magical.
All things magic and synchronistic and spiritual, and that always reminds me of that. And so I've learned to just own in the light and how the light shifts.
I read your bio, I read about you, and I think this can't be one human. You're like three or four different people. First African-American female helicopter pilot in the U.S. Navy. Can you unpack that? Before we get to magic, unpack that part. Helicopter pilot, U.S. Navy.
Yes, it's such a wonderful part of my life. And again, thank you for having me. It's something that I never really thought I would do. It wasn't on my life plan as a teenager or child to be a pilot. And I had the opportunity. I knew I wanted to join the Navy and see the world. And when I took the ASVAB, the test to get into the military, they offered me to take the aviation test, and it went well. And I served for 9 amazing years in the Navy and got to see Europe and lots of wonderful places and surface some extraordinary people. So it was quite the opportunity.
Okay. You made that sound really, really great, but there's something in my gut that's saying first African American female helicopter pilot in the Navy. And I feel stuff in my belly. Was any of it horrible? You know, did you climb mountains?
We had to climb a lot. We had to, and I had to climb my own personal mountains. Yes. And I was the second Black female overall. And the first one had been 7 years prior. So any of the people I was around, right, had never seen anyone like me. And so it was challenging. It was lonely. It was so out of my comfort zone. But when I was leaving to go to where I live now, Pensacola, Florida, for Aviation Officer Candidate School, I made a pact with myself. And it was the first time I'd ever done this, which was just don't quit. I felt like I had quit so many things in my life. I had, you know, quit even athletics or music. And so I just made that pact with myself. And that really served me the most in just keeping my head down. They could send me home on the tough days. Like, I was praying every night to be sent home. But I made that commitment not to quit. And that allowed me to learn how to fly, to overcome any obstacles that I was really up against.
Wow. Wow. Okay. The documentary is called Courage to Thrive.
Yes.
And I just, those words alone, why would anyone need courage to thrive? Why doesn't thriving come naturally?
That's my question. Great question, Casey. Because I think, you know, most of us, I have to speak for myself, especially when I came out of the military, I failed miserably. I wanted to go into business. I wanted to work for myself and build something, and epic failure. And I lived in survival for so long. I had a bankruptcy, foreclosure of 2 homes, lived on, you know, couches and those kinds of things to try to work my way back, both inwardly as a human and really pick myself up. And so survival became kind of my norm. Even when I started to become more and more successful, when I got a corporate job and I was making money, and I remember telling my dad, driving to work one day, I needed to resole my boots. You know, he's like, you can afford new boots now. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, and so that idea that many of us, especially women, the women I get to work with, end up in surviving, and they don't even have a concept of what does it really mean to thrive in my life. We get into this, you know, kind of regular day-to-day momentum and not necessarily pop up into like, oh, life would be so cool if I could, .. whatever that is.
I have a million questions, which is really convenient because, you know, I have a lot of time to ask them right now. What about this. How could the first African-American helicopter pilot for the U.S. Navy, how could you come out of that and not do well? Tell me that story. I just feel, and I know this is terribly childish and ridiculous, I just feel like anyone who serves our country, there should be an exit ramp lined with not only applause, but also support. I'm guessing that is not the case.
That's not the case. It's better now. It's been a minute since I got out of the service, but it's not. We don't always take great care of our veterans. Veterans, our military knows a particular way of being. Our food is provided for, you know, our housing for at least in the beginning. And our world is very structured. When we come out into an unstructured world, I didn't have the tools and I didn't have enough in savings. I actually thought I was going to get this big check when I left the service. I had saved up basically 2 years of vacation. I thought they would pay me out. And I knew I'd have to pay them back because I had committed to staying longer and I had a plan for paying them back. I knew I would set up a monthly plan, but they took all of that except for a small amount when I left the service. And so the nest egg I thought I was going to have wasn't there. I'd already overextended myself in a business and it wasn't the business's fault. I didn't have the skills really to take care of myself and really know what are, you know, what, how to pay like regular rent, how to pay my, you know, for health insurance, because all of that was all taken care of at the time.
Wow. This is a great education and a great eye-opener. My friend Virginia Giordano runs the Barbara Giordano Foundation, which supports, oh my gosh, you have to meet them. It supports female veterans.
Mm.
Picture the VA hospital in your community. You do not see women hanging out there.
Right.
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 So, you know, because that's another show. So my friend Virginia works through this foundation that she named for her sister to help re-educate women. And there's so many issues, depression and anxiety and hoarding and not knowing how to take care of yourself. And all of these reactions to having this, I'm guessing, an elevated position, right? You're in this wonderful environment, the Navy, the Army, and then you come out and you're in this world that looks right past you.
Yes, and we aren't taught as women to really own who we are, own our skills and abilities. And there's an amazing woman in the film, Carmen, who's a 22-year Army vet. And I was brought in to work with their program. She was in Italy, and these were all people coming out of the service. And they had so many fears and worries. And here is Carmen, a 22-year veteran, and she's being told she'll never get a job if she leaves the service. And that's what her commanding officer told her. And so it was this idea that I know what he was doing was just trying to keep her in. But the challenge was she took that in. So as soon as she got out, like 17 days later, she took the very first job she could.
Yeah.
Right. And she actually took it way below market, too.
Right.
Is one of the things that I found is women don't research what they should be paid. I didn't know.
We tend to believe our commanding officer, whoever that may be.
Right. And I thought they would just take care of me even when I got my first corporate job. I didn't know to negotiate. I should have known, but I didn't know.
Right.
I should have asked for certain things. And so especially women veterans who they've done this one thing. So when I asked Casey, I asked her, well, what do you do in the Army? She said, well, I'm a finance soldier. And I'm like, but you're the most employable of anybody. Like, you know how to read a spreadsheet. You know how to read a budget. You know HR. She's like, yeah, but I don't know how to do that in the real world. And what I found is so many women, and this can happen. Actually, I've seen this with high powered executives coming out of New York, women executives or CEOs who literally they'll go to do something new. And they'll say, well, I'm new at this. Most of the time, it's women who come to me who are coaches. And they'll say, well, I'm a new coach. And I'm like, but you sold 4 businesses. And they're like, yeah, but I'm new at this. So we put everything that we had done and everything that we were successful at in a box, close it up and shove it off to the side. And we start over. Men don't do that.
Men don't do that. And also, too, it's part of the politeness of be a good girl.
Yes.
Be a good girl and don't talk about, don't brag about, don't call attention to. That was my generation. you know, don't ever mention that, or just be humble to the point of erasing your own.
Absolutely.
Sense and sensibility. I have to know, it's driving me crazy. What is the business? You came out of the Navy and you launched a business. You said epic fail. I need to know what the business was.
It wasn't the business's fault. It was more of a distributorship. And I thought I, you know, it could be successful, even though I was out of my element with it.
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't so much what I was doing. I just wasn't prepared for living on my own.
So it was a distributorship, like a business. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
And can I add one thing, Casey, to what you said about the women at the center? We also don't know how to own everything about who we are, talk about ourselves, and talk about ourselves in a way that champions how we serve others. And we have dedicated ourselves to a family. The military is our family. When we come out of the service, we are now very different than our family of origin, even.
Oh, yeah.
So women don't even sometimes know where to place themselves in the world.
Got it.
As a member, because we've left the family of military, we don't really fit into our family of origin. Right. And sometimes it's easier just to be in survival.
Yeah. You have painted that picture beautifully. Thank you. Can we be pissed off at our military? Can we? Are you angry? I'm angry.
Not so much of it, the military, because they don't know any different, right? And that's why we end up with such a high homeless rate. Now, they're getting better. I will say they are getting a lot better. And it's so much mindset work that has to go on. And the person has to choose in and let go of everything that, you know, was the military. Take the great things, take all their skills, take the knowledge that they can be dropped anywhere on the planet and learn something new. They will learn faster than anyone else that I know because they've been trained to, but they don't leverage that more.
Okay, we have to talk about the learning part, because this is when I said you're like three people. PhD is in positive neuropsychology. I don't even know what that is. You have three master's degrees in information systems, because one and two was not enough.
No.
I need three masters in information systems, spiritual psychology, and spiritual science. Explain, what is positive neuropsychology?
So I think you'll appreciate this. So part of the reason I went to get my PhD was because from a spiritual perspective, there's a lot of things that I know that I couldn't explain scientifically that I knew happened scientifically. Mm. And so you say you have a hunch. Well, we know that is really intuition. We get a spidey sense. We get this knowing. We know that what we focus on expands. And so positive neuropsychology blends positive psychology and neuropsychology. How can we retrain the brain, realize that we have neural pathways, and that the brain, they've tested that the brain can change up to the age of 97. And the only reason they stopped there was because the pool was small, right? And so, but we can change our brain and how we think and what we believe about ourselves and our opportunities and our circumstances at any time. But we have to rehearse it. We have to create a new groove inside of ourselves, because that other is from however many decades before that got laid in from our childhood, our parents, our school. No blame, but we can change from the inside out.
Can we do it alone?
We can. We just have to work at it.
Yeah.
We have to choose. Like, I didn't have any money when I went bankrupt. So people would give me gift certificates, or I'd spend hours in the bookstore when brick and mortar bookstores were prevalent.
Right.
And I would get all the self-help books, and I would read and take notes, and I'd try to change, because I didn't have money for therapy. I didn't have money to talk to anybody. So I had to try to figure this out. And that's why I also say it took me longer than I think it should have, because I was relying on myself to do it versus getting assistance from others.
Right.
So it's a yes, and there are others out there at myriads of price points that can help people. And that's really why I did also the Courage to Thrive film, was to try to show to women especially, but to all people, that if we could tap into our strengths and our abilities, that can help shift us and re-regulate us at any moment to who we want to be in that, and design a life that matches what our dreams are.
Our guest is Kameen Samuel. She's written several award-winning books, including Increase Your Abundance, Starting Today, The Wealth Transformation Journal, The Success Transformation Journal, co-author of The Conscious Luck Workbook. I love that. The Conscious Luck Workbook, as well as Wealth Creation for Coaches, along with Steve Chandler. Now you're a filmmaker. Courage to Thrive is the documentary we all want to see. And my cat agrees with that. You can see her popping around in the background. Tell me what you do now. Are you coaching people? What are you doing?
I will always be a coach. I like to say I was coaching at the age of 7, I think, bossing my dad around as coach. So I do have clients still, and I am in the festival process of showcasing the film. And the film is really about this movement, and we're creating a community and this way of helping each other. Especially one of the surprises of the film was that we brought all the women together. I had interviewed them individually, but when we got to the third one, we thought, what would happen? And you've done this with your retreats, I know, is this idea of when women come together, there is a collective energy and a collective momentum and an aliveness and a groundedness where we can support each other. And I have a few great men that are on this journey as well. But it's this idea of creating a collective where we can transform what's happening on this planet right now that we don't love and that doesn't support us into what does, and create thriving and define thriving for ourselves and live into that, because everybody's going to have a different definition.
Kameen Samuel, the documentary Courage to Thrive, you tell me now, what does thriving look like for you? What's it like? Tell me, like, paint that picture.
That's such a great question, because it shifts and it grows with me. And I think it grows with everyone. And for me right now, thriving is getting the film out, is showcasing and sharing with people that they all have the power within them. They have these amazing strengths and abilities. And when they connect to them, they can do anything. And so to do that both in the US and globally, and help everyone realize that this is the most creative time in history. And if we all step into a level of, I don't have to just survive. Thriving to me is having enough wealth to champion, as to be a philanthropist. I love philanthropy. It is about showcasing to people and seeing them come alive when they see that somebody gets them and that they are seen and they're heard and they're valued. That lights me up. And so any of those aspects of helping people anchor in their light and in their strength is what thriving is to me for this planet at this time, because then we won't be against each other.
Yeah. You know, I've been so spoiled by doing so many women's retreats to be in the room of women. And it is understood that what we create in that circle is real. Right? And that it exists even when we're not in the circle, that if we run into each other or anybody reaches out for help, I know that look on your face, like, we are there. I am here for you. And it doesn't matter who you voted for, where you live. I am with you. I'm going to support you. The struggle that I have is when I am in rooms where that doesn't exist. It blows my mind.
It's amazing.
I'm now working in a corporate environment where there are a handful of people who are good to each other, women, and then there are a handful who tear each other down. I've never seen it. I have.
And it's unbelievable that I have been on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to me, because I used to tell one of my bosses, there's no competition. Like, all I want is the job done.
Right.
So, like, I'll be there. I'll support anybody.
Right.
Like, but there are those, and it is insecurity. It comes from people not knowing that there are that we are stronger together, that we can support each other, that there is enough abundance. I actually got in trouble one time for putting like an abundance quote on there. Like, there's enough abundance in the world for all of us to thrive and to have what we need. We don't actually need billions because, you know, we can't take it with us. I'm good with it because I can give it away. Like, I can champion so many projects. But it's this opportunity when we have enough and we are in our power that we actually can take care of each other. We don't have to be against.
No. And the energy and the neuroscientific nutrition that you get from helping somebody else. I feel bad for all these people. They're denying themselves that.
Like, and like, you just gave me goosebumps, right? Like, it's like, because I could feel depressed on a day, right? But when I dig in, it's like, oh, did I help somebody today? If I didn't coach somebody, if I didn't share what I know with someone today, that can cause me to go kind of into a low mood. And I had to learn that, oh, wait, my joy comes from service. My joy comes from helping people thrive. And when we aren't connected to that, that's when we look for that, you know, angst, and we gather the gossip tribe, and we're against others, when the truth is, like, there's so much joy that can be had when we support each other.
Right.
And we see the best in each other.
Yeah. How do we help people? Well, there's two questions I want to ask. One is, how do we help people see their own strengths? How do you do that?
So some is help at having even just your friends say, you know, what do you think is one of my strengths? We can look up on the web, and it can give you, there's some that give you like 270 strengths. I shortcut that through some of the assessments that I use, and they're amazing. One is the viacharacter.org has a free one. That's what the Army uses and the military sometimes use to help them find their strengths. And so there's a lot of different ways, but once we can find that particular assessment will give me my top five. When we live from there, and it'll give you all 24, and they're all 24 strengths. Most people go right to the bottom and say, well, that's a weakness. Or they'll see humor in the bottom five and they'll say, I'm funny. And I'm like, it's not about that. Right. On the day you took your assessments, because we don't ever want assessments to define us, because we can change.
Yeah.
But one of mine, I didn't actually like mine when I first took it, because it came out gratitude and, of course, love of learning and some others. But gratitude, I thought gratitude meant I hand wrote thank you notes.
Right.
I had to lean into, well, that's not the only measure of gratitude. And so, and I appreciate when I get one. I just got one from my niece. It was amazing. But it was like this idea of like, how do we define ourselves? And how do we even just choose three or four strengths and live into them? Because we can actually create that groove. We can practice our way into spirituality. And spirituality doesn't mean religion. It means connectedness.
Right.
Connectedness to each other. Love is about the intimacy of just creating a bond with another human being, not necessarily in a relationship, but just how are we listening deeply to another human being? Or honesty. I have a lot of leaders who are brutally honest. I'm like, let's be in balance with that honesty. Let's find a way to be honest and kind.
Honest and kind. It is absolutely doable. Absolutely doable. Oh, you said so many things. You said so many things there. Like, my brain sort of short circuited for a while. Yeah. So to find your strengths.
Yes. Live from those strengths.
Live from like the top three.
Yes.
Live from like the top three. That will keep you grounded. And the sense of, it's something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. When you are connected to spirit, whatever that is,
whatever
connected or grounded or whatever you want to call it, the last thing you want to do is hurt another person or tear down.
Right. There's no need, because you want to also, when you recognize the beauty and the strength within you, you can see it in another.
Right.
And so, Casey, one of your strengths, I'm sure, is curiosity. You're curious about others in life. And when you get curious, I bet you light up and I can see it on the screen. Like, you light up and you want to go deeper. That can shift your day at any given moment when you tap into that curiosity.
All right. What website do I go to find out my character?
That is viacharacter.org. And it gives you a free report. It's a free assessment. And again, please don't let it, you know, I don't like anybody to let it define you. And it's what I used in the film Courage to Thrive with all of my, clients or the women on the film, because it's an easy way for us to start to lean into who we naturally are. And they're all strengths and we can leverage the ones and pull them up. And I talk about this a lot. And as people can go also to, if they're interested in seeing the trailer of the film, it's at Courage to Thrive Doc, D-O-C for documentary. .com, CourageToThrive.com, and they can see the trailer. I work with a lot of people on mindset beliefs around money and what they believe about what's possible in earning for themselves. And so there's a free ebook there, and there's a lot of, they actually get a copy of my first book, Increase Your Abundance, starting today. There's a PDF when they sign up for that. So I try to give as many resources as I can to people on their own so that they can really help themselves.
I've said this 100 times on this show. The people who take the knowledge and give it away are the ones that are fully alive, right?
Like, I can't help but give it away.
we're gonna buy your books too, but that you don't say, oh, you know, get the book and turn to page 24. You just say, here's a PDF. So we can find all this at CourageToThriveDoc.com. Is that where we go for all the free stuff? Where can we see the movie?
Well, the film's still in festivals. I had no idea what I was getting into when I started this journey on filmmaking. So we're hoping within the next 6 months we can get distribution and get it streaming or in theaters. So, but we'll be doing more and more behind the scenes releases soon.
Good, good, good. You're a joy. You have to come back. We have to talk more. I like to end every show with a quote, and the one that comes to mind right now is one of my mantras, and that is, all boats rise. It's gotta be a win-win, right?
There's enough for everyone. There is enough.
Amen. Sister, shine on.